probably a lot of things come to your mind. Campfires, you know, all you Royal Rangers. Purify, define, refine. All good stuff, all good stuff. When I think of something being burned, when I throw an object in a fire, you Royal Rangers, or you're sitting around a fire with your family, you throw, you know, your ball of trash in there or whatever. Don't throw hairspray cans in there. That doesn't work. But I think of something being consumed, completely consumed. Consumed. Something being burned. I begin to think about this. And when you put something in the fire, it's forever changed. When you put something in the fire, it's forever changed. What happens is that object is never the same. The fire consumes it, the fire burns it, and it's marked for life. Whatever kind of object you put in there is marked for life. It's branded. You in Texas know about branding, right? You farmer? Okay, all right. Ranchers is what they're called. Learning this. Learning all the language of Texas. It's a whole other thing. I have to ask you this question this morning. Have you allowed God to consume your heart? He is a gentleman. He is waiting for us to surrender. He is waiting for us to give a heart. Our surrender, and I'm going to read this straight from my notes because I would believe it was from straight from the heart of God, so I don't want to mess it up. Our surrender to Him, our surrender to God, is out of a divine supernatural love for Him because He loved us first. Many times we sing this song, I surrender all, and it's almost a hard song to sing if you are really connected with that song, with your hands raised, and it's really a hard song to sing sometime, but the Lord really dropped in my spirit one day, it's not about me taking everything from you, it's about you giving everything to me out of a love relationship that we have. Because you love me so much. And because you love me so much, is the very reason you love me is because I loved you first, right? Y'all following me? What does your heart burn for? I'll read this scripture one more time. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us as He, speaking of Jesus, was with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? What does your heart burn for? That's the question I'll be asking all day today, all morning today. During my sermon here, what does your heart burn for? I'm going to go to another scripture, one of my favorite books of the Bible. That's 1 John. 1 John, that's in the New Testament. 1 John, right before Revelation. 1 John 2:15. 2:15 through 17, and I'll just read it for you guys. A little longer. What does your heart burn for? You know, the Lord is always asking me this question, Vera, what do you burn for? What do you burn for? What consumes your thoughts? 1 John 2:15. Do not love this world nor the things in it that it offers. For when you love this world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. That's pretty strong words. I didn't say it, though. The Bible said it. Jesus said it. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but these are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. What do we burn for? See, so many times the thoughts that consume us and the things that consume our life are of the world, and they steal our affections. Come on, steal our affections. That's a strong word. Affections, but see, well, that's what it does, is because the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, to take our affections from God, because it's all about love. It's all about the love of God. It's the love of God that draws us to repentance. Amen? Y'all tracking out there? Do you burn for the things of this world more than the things of God? Do you burn for the things of this world more than the things of God? The world will continually and always call out to you. Doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old. The world and the enemy will continue to call out to you with the pleasures of this world, with the things that really fade away. Right? We seem to allow everything in this fading world to take our affections instead of the lover of our soul. Still on our affections. Everyone burns for something. And we must ask ourselves, what do we burn for? You know, I think about that. I think about what, you know, Vera, Nicole, you know, what's your name, man? Chad, what do you burn for? You're on the front row. I get to pick on you. What do you burn for? What do you burn for? No matter how young, no matter how old, what do we burn for? What consumes our lives? Because if it's not of God and it's not the things of God, it will fade away. It will leave you empty. It will leave you broken. It will leave you hurting. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to be talking about the subtitle of my message was What and When. What and When. What and When. What and When. I'm going to go into when God is walking among you. I've first hit on what do you burn for. But I also want to, there's a question that you have to ask in this scripture, Luke 24:32. Another question comes to my mind. I'm going to read that scripture one more time. And I just love this scripture because it's so powerful. I used to work in a ministry. They had this beautiful painting. It was huge on the wall. And it was the men walking on the road to Emmaus, kind of had their hand over their heart, if you can picture it with me, said, did not our hearts burn within us? Very powerful painting. I don't know who painted it, but it was beautiful. It's really a portrait of what we should be doing in the Spirit. May my heart burn for you. But the other question is, as I read this, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us along the road and explained the scriptures to us. You know, oftentimes we pray in the church and we have these citywide prayer meetings, right? I think those are great. I think they're great. In Augusta, there's a church that has this. And they rent this big civic center and they have these huge prayer meetings and praying for revival, praying for a move of God, praying for holiness in a city. We pray for all these things many times in the church. But when God actually walks among us, our hearts don't burn. When God shows up, our hearts don't burn. Most of our American churches, I am proud to say that it doesn't happen here in our church. But we present a watered-down gospel. We really do. I love mega churches, but I know several mega churches that they present a watered-down gospel. You know? Watered-down gospel. And we as ministers will have to account for that. Because, see, ministers in America, by the lifestyle they live, they say you can pray a prayer and live however you want to. And it tells us, you know what? You can say a prayer too, and you can live however you want to too. And everything's okay. And we get this message all the time because Pastor Philip preaches this message. He preaches the Word of God. But the Lord reminded me one day. He said, you know, that's sickening to me. I said, those are pretty strong words, Lord. He said, it is sickening to me. I said, what do you mean? He took me to Revelation. And you all know this scripture because Pastor Philip has been preaching in Revelation quite a bit. Revelation 3:15-16. Revelation 3:15-16. I feel like a recorder sometimes. Starting at 15. I know all the things you do. Now that'll preach in itself. I know all the things that you do. That you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. Can you hear the Father's heart in that? I wish you were one or the other. Hear the Father's heart in that. But since you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I have to spew you out of my mouth. Those are strong words. I remember as a kid, my grandmother raised me in church. I had a good old Baptist grandmother put the fear of God in you. I tell you about coming of God. Woo-wee! Some of those car rides. I remember going to the grocery store. I'm like, we only going to the grocery store. And I mean, you know, and to buy a loaf of bread. you know, I am not playing. I mean, put the fear of God in you. And I remember hearing the scripture about, you know, if you're not hot or cold and you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But in the scripture, we have to hear the Father's heart in this, that He longs for us, that He longs for us to burn for Him. So I want you to hear the Father's heart in that. Does your heart burn hot for God? Because see, this American Christianity that we have, because we have this freedom, we've got comfortable, and, you know, man, we find ourselves sometimes just barely getting by, and, well, you know, I mean, sometimes I find myself there, like, you know, what do you burn for, Vera? You know, it's the Word. Are you in the Word? Are you in prayer? These are questions we got to ask. Because, see, we live in a world that fades away, and those are the only things that are going to matter. So many things are stealing our affections. You know, when God starts to walk among us, and we, the church, have been praying for a move of God. And I know CLH has been praying for God to continually move, for the manifest presence to be and to walk among us, to change our lives, to mark us for life, for God to show up, for signs, wonders, and miracles to happen. Because that's what the Bible says. We pray these things. And when God does show up, when God does show up and He does walk among us, we put our religious mask on. Come on, now. Listen up. We put our religious mask on and we start doubting when God starts moving. Yes, we are to have discernment. We are. As the Bible tells us to, especially in the last days. Let me tell y'all a story. I was in Dallas Monday. Was in Dallas Monday, and I met with a professor at Christ for the Nations. Occasionally, she lets us teach, you know, kind of have a panel, and I feel so special because she calls us and asks us. Anyways, makes you feel good. We had lunch with her, and she said, you know, Vera, she said, during the Jesus movement, because they were kind of pioneers during this movement, and some of you can relate to this, but they were starting churches. I mean, on Sunday night, they'd have these fireball services, and all the Baptist people would go because couldn't get it on Sunday morning. They'd go to their churches, and God was moving. And she said, the very people that were praying for a move of God, the very people that had been fasting and praying for a move of God, when the Jesus movement showed up on the scene, when God showed up on the scene, they put their religious mask on and started doubting. And she said it was very hard for them to accept when God moved. Some of you are there. Guys, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. I feel, Pastor Philip, that Church of Living Hope, and I oftentimes will say a few things to Pastor Philip. I believe we're in a transitional time. I believe we're on the edge of something. And it's not all about this mega church thing, and it's not all about hype. It's about the genuine gospel, and it's about His manifest presence coming. And if the Bible said it, then we can do it. Amen. If the Bible said that signs, wonders, and miracles can happen, then can they not happen? But when God shows up and it doesn't look right, and we didn't do it like that last year, and we didn't do it like that 20 years ago, we put our religious mask on. Y'all better hear me in here. Put our religious mask on. And our nose is up. What's all up with that? That's called judgment, not discernment. I just thought I'd say it. Because, see, my generation, there is a generation. It's not all about our generation, my four no more. But our generation longs for the real, guys. And we've seen the fake long enough. I'm going to just tell you, Ethan Real, that's the very reason why we named it that name. So people will be like, what's up with that? What's Ethan Real mean? I like that real part. I just tell them, we're genuine people serving a genuine God. He's real. He really does move. He encounters you. You can experience Him, and He's the real deal. Because, see, they live in a world, we live in a world that steals our affections. Steals our affections. I'm sorry, I got a little heated in here. Ooh, it's all good. It's all good. Y'all can chill. All right. When God shows up, do our hearts burn within us? When God shows up, do our hearts burn within us? I got kind of lost in my notes here. Y'all just bear with me. I have something to read because I felt like this was the Lord. When God walks among us, our hearts sometimes get distracted and fail to recognize it. Get distracted. They get distracted. I was talking with my professor friend, her name's Susan Bozarth Monday, and she said, Vera, she said, as long as your message doesn't change, as long as your message doesn't change, it's okay if your methods do. And I said, okay. She really pours into my life. But I want to tell you something. We must be a discerner of the times and seasons. We must be a discerner of the times and seasons. In the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 12:32, you don't have to go there. I just want to read this to you. The sons of Issachar, how many of you ever heard the sons of Issachar? I'm like, what? Sons of what? Sons of Issachar. I even said it wrong. I may be saying it wrong. I don't even know it, you know? You get all these Greek words and Hebrew words, and we, like, slaughter them probably. Anyways, it's all good. The sons of Issachar were men that had an understanding of the times and seasons. Church of Living Hope, we must be a discerner of the times and seasons that we are in. Because what will happen if we're not is we'll be behind the wave or we'll be in front of the wave. We won't be riding the wave if we're not a discerner of the times and seasons. This happened. You can see it happening in Acts chapter 2. Anytime God shows up on the scene, anytime, God just kind of messes up all the religious mindsets, and people just don't like it. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Y'all know this. Y'all spirit-filled people. Y'all know all about this. I'm going to read 5, and I'm going to skip around verse 5. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. I mean, I would have came running too. Came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Verse 7, they were completely amazed. How can this be? How can this be? I mean, this is big. And what if it happened in downtown Tyler, you know? I mean, people come out from their office, the courthouse, and what was that building we were at? Annex? I'm running out. What's this loud noise? What's going on? What's going on? People stood there perplexed, it says. What can this mean? But there were some in the crowds, verse 13, there were some in the crowds that ridiculed, saying, they're just drunk. That's all it is. They're just drunk. They're just a bunch of crazy nuts. And there are some out there, by the way, that claim our name, Christianity. There are. But there are some genuine people that love the Lord and that are serious about God. Let's not be those people that ridicule. We ain't got no people like that in here. We don't have any people like that in here. Amen. We got to ride the wave. I'm not a surfer. I've never, that would be hilarious if I even tried, but y'all are all picturing it. You know, I'm like floundering around and like a fish. Anyways, I'm not a surfer, but I do know you have to hit the right spot. Some of you that maybe have experienced that know that. Some of you up there, you youth, have tried it probably. I've never tried it. That would be the day. We have to ride the wave when God shows up. I had this dream, and I feel led to share it. I'll just share it with you. This was a couple of years ago. I was at Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And I had this dream, and I was riding this wave. I mean, in my dreams, I do surf. Don't we all? We're all famous singers and everything in our dreams, right? Superstars, superheroes, you guys. I was riding this wave in this dream, and it was like the Holy Spirit was just, it was just a fun dream. I was just like, okay. Anyways, that went over your head. But the Lord was just talking to me about how we have to ride the wave. And I'm like, I don't even know how to ride a wave. But the bottom line is that when God shows up and when a move of the Spirit comes up, whatever you want to call it, a wave of the Spirit, let's not be in front of it. Let's not be behind it, but let's be riding that thing. Let's be having fun. If it ain't fun, you know, who wants to do it? Anyways, Christianity is fun. We can have a good time. We can have a good time. I just want to lead us back to some simple truths here, some simple truths. Because we can talk about what do you burn for. We can talk about when God moves, do you burn? Because when they were walking on the road, God was walking with them. Jesus was walking with them, and their hearts burned within them. I can imagine them walking on the road and just feel like, dude, did you feel that? I mean, that was thick. This is Ethan Real, you know, Ethan Real language. You're like, man, the presence of God was thick in here, you know. And I can imagine them, those people with their robes on, sandals on, whatever they wore, Jerusalem cruisers or something. And they were like, man, that was Jesus. He was walking with us and it was thick. Our hearts burned within us. That was their language. Our hearts burned within us. The simple truth is this. Is that God burns for us. Because we can talk all about that, but if we fail to remember that God burns for us, it'll be in vain. He desires us to burn for Him. To burn for Him. Because He burns for us. The Bible also talks about God being a consuming fire. When our hearts burn for God, we experience the perfecting work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When our hearts burn for God, we can experience the perfecting work of the Holy Spirit. One of the definitions of burn is to perfect or to improve by fire or heat. His fiery love for us refines us. That's something that gives us hope. His fiery love for us refines us. We love Him because He first loved us. We burn for Him because He is radically in love with us. We burn for Him when He's moving because we know that He has nothing but good in store for us. For those of us that put religious masks on, it's because we really don't have a revelation of the love of the Father and the love of God. The problem is that we forget that God loves us. We forget that God really does burn for us. We forget that scripture that says something like this, He thinks about us more than the sands of the sea. And that's a lot. My brother called me the other day, my younger brother, he was very upset. Some of you know my younger brother, Drew. He was very upset. And of course, I raised my two younger brothers, so it's a little bit different for some of you. But it's almost like talking to your own child, and my heart broke. He's crying, and this one doesn't usually call for prayer. It's usually the other one, and he calls, and he's like, "Can you pray for me?" My heart, man, broke. I remember thinking, what can I tell them to encourage him? And the scripture just popped in my mind. Do you know, I think about him more than the sands of the sea? And I was like, wow, God. So I began to tell him that. He's like, really? It changed his whole attitude. Because he realized that there was a Father in heaven, regardless of how his earthly father was, that was really thinking about him and really cared about him. When we know that God burns for us, we can burn for God. And that's my prayer, that we get a revelation of His love. When we have a revelation of His love, a lot of other things will fall in line. Start struggling with things. We'll stop sinning in areas. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. But oftentimes we try to do it the other way around. I've got a little clip for you guys. Y'all just listen to this.
As Joan of Arc was dying at the stake, she said this quote, Every man gives his life for what he believes. And every woman gives her life for what she believes. Sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and yet they give their lives to that little or nothing. One life is all we have. We live it and it's gone. But to live without belief is more terrible than dying. Even more terrible than dying young. What do you burn for? What do you burn for?
Jim Elliot said the famous words years before his martyrdom, "That man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he prayed as a young man, "God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn up for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like yours, Lord Jesus."
It's a little clip. It's powerful. Every time I hear it, it gives me chill bumps. These are people that went before us and paved the way. Left a legacy for us to follow. I imagine when God started showing up on the scene, they probably prayed a prayer like, you know, "Lord, I want to move with you. I want to go with you." There's a song that says, "Where you go, I'll go." Some of you know that. It's like one of your favorite songs. "Where you go, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. Light these idle sticks of my life and let them burn for you." When God starts moving among us, guys, let's honor that. Let's respect that. And let's ride the wave. I remember talking to Tina. She was talking about one of her classes that she had. Forgive me if I say it a little bit wrong. She was talking about how Martin Luther really set the pace. That he's, you know, speaking of mothers, he is, you know, we're here because of him. He really brought in that movement, the Protestant church, and along with many, many, many other things. Go into that. But she said, Tina was saying that, can you imagine, you know, maybe another guy coming after him, and it would be difficult knowing the revelation you have to go with another person's revelation. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Forgive me. But basically what I'm saying is that sometimes when God speaks to us, the next generation comes along, it's very hard for us to see that God's moving in a different way. The message never changes. The message will always be the same. The simple truth of the gospel that sets people free, that gives people hope. But our methods do change. And that's good. You know, Jason, you know, your guys and our guys and us, we're the future church. We really are. We have to invest in this generation. Investing in people, I believe, is the only thing that will really last. Really, really. We have this thing in Ethan Real. We're challenging our leaders to raise up one person a year. Raise up one person a year. You can do more than that if you want. One person's enough. That's a dirty work right there. Discipleship, that's why nobody wants to do it, because you got to get your hands all in people's lives. But you have to gain their respect first. But there's generations that long for the real. I keep referring to the professor at Christ for the Nations, but she's a huge influence in my life. She really believes in Nicole and I and our ministry and what we do. And we're just starting out, but, dude, she speaks to us like we're, I don't know, some of those old-timers, you know. She just believes in us. You understand what I'm saying? She believes in us. She said, She said this. She said, Vera, she said, you can never forget the people that went ahead of you and went before you and the people that have paved the way. We always have to honor people that have went before us, because see, what happened is they paved the way where there wasn't a way. Really. They went in with their machete and cut paths so that we could follow. See, the thing of it is we're the generation that'll do it next. Really are, you guys. And our hearts must burn within us because God's heart burns for us. There is a solution. There is a solution to the problem. I talked about the problem before the clip, and the problem is that we forget that God burns for us. I can ask you over and over, what do you burn for? I can ask myself over and over, what do I burn for? And Vera, will you move? Will your heart burn when I start to move? Will you move with me when I start to move? I can say that all day long, but the problem is that we forget that God loves us, and sometimes we beat the altar and we're like, God, I want to burn for you, God. I want to have a heart after you. And I used to pray those prayers and I'd be so genuine. And my prayers were so real. But it seems like I could never, ever get it. You ever feel like that? Sometimes we're like, God, I want to live for you. I just can't get the stuff out of my life, you know? I mean, that's just real. That's what we live with. That's our everyday stuff. I hate that lady at work, you know? See that stuff in our lives. Until we realize the love of God. It's the love of God that draws us to repentance, and His heart burns for us. The solution is when we, you know, what do we do when we fail and fall short of burning for God? What do we do when we feel dry and the things of this world consume us? These are questions. There's pastors all the time when I was dealing with stuff, and sometimes even now, sometimes I would be so frustrated because I'm like, what's the solution? Well, Jesus is the solution, obviously. Jesus is the solution. But I had to recognize the love of God. I had to recognize the love of God. We're consumed. These are some things, because oftentimes we think of the things of the world as sin. Don't you? That's the first thing that comes to my mind, along with a few other things we won't mention. But, I mean, come on, y'all don't act holy up in here. It's true. When the things of this world are nasty and they're bad, and that's the bottom line. Let's just be real. But there's some other things I'm learning from a mentor of mine that worry consumes us. Really, it does. It is a sin. But oftentimes we don't think of that as sin. Fear. Rejection, and I want to put asterisk by this one, busyness. Because we can get so busy that we fail to burn for God, doing the things of God. We get our who mixed up with our do all the time. Do y'all know that? Oh, who you are is not what you do. Okay, never mind. Anyways, you get it. We fail to remember that who we are and to rest in who we are, and we get so busy doing our Christianese stuff, and we get busy. In America, I'm learning when I travel to other countries, they're not as busy as we are. They're pretty laid back. They really are. I'll probably get more done in Romania. You're like, we'll send you to Romania all the time. Get more stuff done over there. They're just laid back. I went to Poland the first week I was there. I thought, my God, why did you send me here? I'm doing nothing, Lord, you know. They have a different mindset for sure. Those of you that have traveled know, but busyness. We've got appointments. My calendar is always full. Not that I'm some important person, but just I'm a to-do person. I like to make to-do lists and check them off because it makes me feel good. That's probably a sin too. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But busyness. Busyness. There is hope for those of us that don't burn for God. There are hope. There is hope for those of us that don't burn when God's moving. I was in Dallas and I had a friend give this word. I pastor friend, and he said, when you are dry, it can be your best time. When you are dry, it can be your best time. Wow. It can be your best time. Dry sticks always catch on fire faster. Those of you Royal Rangers know that, right? Dry fit sticks always catch on fire faster. I'd like us to all stand to our feet. Pastor Philip, I hope you're not disappointed in me. It's 5 minutes till, Lord Jesus. Okay. Thank you, brother. I love you. You know, we can sometimes give messages and almost kick us when we're down. But I want to give you hope today. Because that's, you know, it's His love that leads us to repentance. And I want to tell you today, with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, there's hope for you today if you don't burn for God. There is hope for you today if you've been that person while God is moving, and I believe God is moving in the church of Living Hope. If you have failed to burn when God was walking among us, and while God is walking among us now, and we can have our worship leaders come up. If you fail to burn, there is hope for you. Many of us in this room probably feel dry. We've allowed the things of this world to just really consume our life instead of the fire of God. But the hope is that you will catch on fire fast. You will catch on fire fast. You will catch on fire fast. God burns for you today. He loves you with an everlasting fiery love. And I'm going to ask the fiery love of God to come up in this place right now. If we can just go ahead and begin to play. And those of you that don't burn for God and want to burn for God. And those of you that desire to burn for God when He is moving. And those of you that desire to discern the times and seasons. Let's all lift our hands before the Lord today, if that's you. Should be all of our prayer, Lord. I want to burn for you. I want to be a part of what you're doing, God. I have some prayer team come down here. Keith, Nicole, Timothy, Veronica. Some of the youth can come down and pray too if you'd like. Just stand up here in the front. Right here. Turn to face everyone. Those of you that feeling dry. You're saying, God, that's me. You know what? I've kind of waxed cold. I've kind of stopped burning for you, God. I need to burn for you, God. Would you like you to make your way up here to the altar? We have powerhouse people that want to pray for you. They want to pray for you because I believe that in the Church of Living Hope, that God can really move. And He is moving. And that you can be a part of it. And that you can ride the wave. When God moves, and it doesn't look like what you thought it would look like, check the message. And if the message hasn't changed, it's okay. Father, we want you to brand us with your fire, God. We want to burn for you, Jesus. We want to burn for you, God. When we burn for you, God, we're forever marked. We're forever marked. I welcome you. Tell the Father that you're dry. Allow His fire to sweep over you, consume you.